Ladies and gentlemen, here is Led Zeppelin.
Messrs. Bonham, Jones, Page, and Plant. Led Zeppelin.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American return of Led Zeppelin.
Well, here we are, everyone. Episode 25 of the Zep Fan All Things Led Zeppelin podcast. My name is Mark McFall. For those of you listening to the last episode and this episode, that intro is the same. That was by design. That was not a mistake. I repeat, that was not a mistake. We decided we're going to go with a static intro for now and not change up the intro every episode. And only because, I mean, I have to be honest, I was spending 2 to 3 hours just to find the perfect intro for each episode. I'd find myself listening to the concert, listening to everything Plant was saying in between songs, and all you're doing is listening to concerts all day long. So anyway, we're going to stick with the same intro, so expect that at the next one. No surprises. We have a really great show for you. We have someone coming on that saw Led Zeppelin 16 times. I'm going to talk a little bit about him in a moment, but before I talk about our guest, I'm going to talk a little bit about a few things going on. As I mentioned last episode, we now have an eBay store to offer Zep Fan merchandise. So if you want your shirt, you want a sweatshirt, you want a coffee mug, or you want some cool other Led Zeppelin shirts, check out Zep Fan Store on eBay, or go to Etsy and search Zep Fan Store one word, and you can see us over there. And also, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, that we're now on YouTube Music. So what that means is I'm able to incorporate the podcast on my YouTube channel, Mark Zep. So now when we update new content, new episodes, it's automatically going to update on my YouTube channel. So very cool. Lastly, for those of you that inquired about supporting the podcast, you can now support the podcast. If you look inside the bio, if you scroll to the bottom, there'll be a little blurb there. It says support the podcast and we'll have a link. Click on it and then support the podcast. If you'd like, up to you. Let's talk about today's episode with our guest, Wayne Jablonski. As I mentioned earlier, Wayne has seen Led Zeppelin 16 times. Yes, that's correct. 16 times. Very similar to episode 22, when we had Artie on the podcast. Wayne is also from the East Coast, so he's had the opportunity to see many Led Zeppelin shows. He's here today. I personally known Wayne for 30 years. We became pen pals back in 1995 during the whole Page and Plant tour. We traded a lot, and we still keep in touch a couple times a year. Great guy. Anyone who's met him, he's got the stories to tell you about all the stuff that happened on these tours. Love Zeppelin, just like all of us, right? He's here. Let's talk a little bit about the shows that he witnessed. He first saw Led Zeppelin in 1973, Madison Square Garden, July 27th, July 28th, and 29th. Those are the epic Song Remains the Same nights where they did the filming for the movie. He saw them 5 times in 1975. New York, February 3rd, 1975, February 7th. Philadelphia Spectrum, February 8th. New York, February 12th. NASA, February 14th. And on to 1977. Capitol Center, Maryland, May 25th and May 26th of 1977. Then the epic run, 6 Led Zeppelin shows in 8 days. Madison Square Garden, June 7th, June 8th, June 10th, June 11th, June 13th, June 14th, 6 times at the Madison Square Garden. Man, my ears are ringing just thinking about it. Can you imagine 8 days seeing Led Zeppelin that many times at the Garden? He's here. He's got some incredible stories to share with us about it. I can't wait. Let's talk to him. Our next guest is a devoted Zep fan who grew up on the East Coast during the 1970s, and between 1973 and 1977, he seized every opportunity to attend a Led Zeppelin concert in his proximity. He has witnessed the band in concert an impressive 16 times. He joins us today to tell his extraordinary tale. Let's give a warm welcome to Wayne Jablonski. Wayne, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Right. Yeah, totally. And always great to catch up with you. Before calling you, I was actually recollecting, like, when did we actually meet? And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe we met in the mid-90s, obviously with the Page Plant tour. I was doing the No Quarter fanzine.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, you sent me some photos of you meeting Robert Plant, and then told me about you seeing Madison, you attending the Madison Square Garden show in 1977.
Oh, yeah. All 6 nights.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. So does that sound about right when we met back then? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And ever since then, like I said, I've been following all the great things that you put out there and, you know,
provided for
us fans, because like I said, we're always hunting and searching for, you know, a better copy of a show or, you know, or something new, of course. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And it's always about, you know, meeting people and finding out where's the better source at, especially back in the tape trading. Nowadays, everything's somewhat digital, so it's not so much, but it really made, you know, it was very valuable meeting people back in the day because they could possibly turn you on to someone else who might have recorded them or has a better source.
Absolutely.
So first, welcome to the show. Thanks again. Sounds like you were a Led Zeppelin fan at a very young age. What age did you get into Led Zeppelin? And, you know, what is it about Led Zeppelin that captivated you?
Well, I tell all my friends that, you know, I'm into Zeppelin because of my older brother, John, who at the time, you know, he was 7 years older than I, no, 8 years older than I. And so, you know, he was, you know, when he bought the first album in 1969 at the time, I was, you know, I was 10. And it was for me, I had just started to play the drums. And so, you know, having exposure to that album and, you know, putting on side one, of course, and hearing Good Times, Bad Times, I was like, wow, I want to play drums right like that. And that kind of put the hook in me. And then from then on, you know, it was like, you know, to listen and to, you know, to dive into all that music that was coming out at the time. And of course, it was Zeppelin who was, you know, like I said, they had the hook in me. And it was always, you know, the band that I, you know, I favored and wanted to hear. And after hearing the first album, it was from then on, it was Zeppelin. And then, you know, but I was old enough to eventually go see them in 1973. I wish I had seen them in 71 or 72 when they were in the area, but in 1973 I was fortunate enough to go see them, you know, all the nights at the Garden when they played. And that was July 27th, 28th and 29th, and middle of the summer there, hot summer nights, the tickets were $7.50.
Can't beat it.
I mean, you know, to go all three nights was like, you know, it was like $22.50. All you had to do was cut a few people's lawns and you had money. You were good to go.
Right. Well, how old were you in 1973 in July?
I was 15 in 73 in 1973.
Okay.
And like I said, I, you know, they were filming the song Remains the Same, and none of us knew anything about it. I mean, we went to the show just thinking that, you know, we're going to see a Zeppelin concert.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, we see these guys with cameras up on the stage and laying down and shooting up at Jimmy while he's playing a solo.
Yeah.
And stuff and everything. And we're like, wow, they're filming this, you know? And we're like, yeah. And we all knew it because at the time we had, you know, we were all going to the midnight movies and going to see, you know, Woodstock and things like that, you know, that were playing, you know, at midnight. And we were like, wow, they're going to put out a movie. We're going to, you know, we're going to get to go to the movies to see a concert, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a big deal. It really was. And I mean, a lot of people say that was their peak musically, you know, the 73 tour. But
yeah.
I mean, I thought they were tremendous. And I mean, believe me, the very last night at the Garden to see them, you know, they finished up with Thank You, which, you know, that was the only night they did that. It was the last night. It was the very last song they played. And, you know, on the Starship flying off out of the airport and stuff and everything. But I mean, that was just, I mean, maybe they were at their apex, you know, in terms of, you know, musical, but as far as the popularity, you know, the band was, you know, it was still growing. I mean, because everybody at the time was like, that was the show to go see. And if you could score a ticket, wow, that was a big deal.
Right. Well, speaking of tickets, talk a little bit about the ticket buying experience. And did you set out to go, okay, we're going to all three nights at the Garden, or did you go the first night on the 27th and like,
well,
oh my gosh, that was incredible. I want to go again.
Well, we were lucky because, like you said, the tickets, the very last night, we had the ticket for the first night. And then another friend of mine that had tickets, he got sick and he couldn't go the next couple of nights. So, you know, we got to go to the shows.
Cool.
So that was our good fortune. Since somebody else's illness was our good fortune, you know, so it was really cool. And like I said, to being able to go, and like I said, our whole thing was, you know, after going and seeing the fact that they were filming all three nights like that, we were wondering, like, you know, when's this coming out? You know, is this going to be something that's coming out like in a year or something? Or, you know, is it going to be on some TV special? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody had high hopes because
nobody knew, right?
Yeah. Because back then, I mean, the band, you know, they didn't have a great relationship with the press, with the, you know, with the media and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, it was hard to, you know, to find anything out really back then, you know, it was really difficult.
So what was your takeaway seeing Song Remains the Same in 1976? Does it capture the band?
Oh, yeah.
What you remember seeing him at 1973?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Very powerful. You know, I mean, you know, that's the band. Like I said, when anyone puts in that, the DVD now, you know, it's not a VHS anymore, but when everyone puts in the DVD and, you know, you're watching the band, like I said, like could be at their apex in terms of, you know,
right,
musical performance. You know, I mean, Jimmy and Bonzo are just amazing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the interplay between the members of the band, like I said, as someone who plays, you know, drums myself, you know, and everything like that. I mean, the interplay that was going on right then,
yeah,
was really kind of off the charts. You know, I mean, it was just very special, you know.
In my opinion, the Song Remains the Same is kind of in my DNA, and I think it's in any hardcore Led Zeppelin fan's DNA. So everything's kind of based off that 73 show because we've seen it so many times. It's great quality, amazing sound. You know, every single lick, every scream by Robert, every jam by Jones and Bonham. I mean, it's just kind of embedded in our souls at this point.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mark, the real Zepp fans know that it's, you know, it's spliced and diced, you know,
right?
It's the beginning of the song from the first night, and with the, you know, with,
yeah,
with the solo from the last night, and you know
low, yeah, low. And a lot of that in between, and yeah, the more you learn as time goes on, because when we first saw it, you know, I saw it originally in 1980s, but as time goes on and the internet comes out, you start hearing about this, and then you're able to pick out all the times in the movie that it's shot from Shepperton 74. Yeah. You're like, oh man, this is not very good. This is a very strange edit, but hey, it is Zeppelin. It's all the documentation we really have other than the Led Zeppelin DVD that came out in 2003.
Right.
So it is an incredible show.
Oh, it's awesome. And like I said, that was, you know, and that was like, after seeing that, it was like, okay, when are they coming back? You know, and,
right,
and as usual, it took a few years for them to come back, you know, to tour. And, but at the time, you know, they had released Physical Graffiti, and it was, you know, that to me, which is like, you know, that's my, you know, my, if you're stuck on an island, you know, you can only have one record.
Right.
That's my one record, you know? So, but, and 75 for us, I mean, we were a little older. We were a little, you know, a little savvier when it came to the concert thing. And, we did some incredible stuff in 75. I mean, just, right, you know, I have got a good friend. My friend, his name is Mark Fiorella, who lives in Florida.
Yep.
And, who, you know, also, but like he, at the time, the two of us in high school, I mean, we were kind of the lead heads, you know, everyone in high school came to us and, you know, asked us about, you know, tickets and shows and all different things. And so, you know, we basically slept out for tickets in the winter, in the cold, you know, to get, you know, tickets. Cause back then they were still letting people line up for tickets, which, you know,
right,
after 75, that didn't happen anymore because of some of the craziness that went on. And, but, you know, we got our tickets for the Garden because, and the Garden shows were, you know, February 3rd, 7th and 12th. So, you know, we were getting, you know, we got tickets for all three of the Garden shows because that's what we always did. But then, you know, one night we were sitting and, you know, of course, sitting around listening to Zeppelin and, you know, probably, you know,
doing your thing,
smoking a little bit and drinking a little bit, you know, and then and having a good time. And also we said, you know, we should go to Philly. And we're like,
right,
really? To Philly? The Spectrum happened to be on February 8th. And so it was like the night after one of the Garden shows. And we're like, yeah, but we don't have tickets. So what happened was we decided, let's do a bus ride to Philadelphia. And we pulled off the coolest thing that I think that any kind of high school kids ever could ever do, really.
Right.
We called the Philadelphia Spectrum, you know, my friend Mark and I. We called the Spectrum, and it was, you know, we basically fabricated that we were a Zeppelin fan group, you know, in our high school.
Yeah.
And, but there was no such club in the high school for anybody. So anyway.
Oh, you and Mark, that's all that mattered.
but we got them to sell us a block of 50 tickets.
Wow.
Okay. Now, at the time, we had to borrow money. We borrowed money from Mark's grandmother, from my mom, from his mother. You know, we had to borrow money to get up the money to get, you know, the tickets. And but the thing was, we had to go to the Philadelphia Spectrum to get them. They wouldn't send them to us. So, you know, we drove to Philly one Saturday because we were still high school kids. And we drove to the Spectrum and we went in to buy the tickets. And they actually made Mark sign an affidavit because he was the only one who was 18, because that was like the legal age at the time. He was the only one who was 18. And they made him sign the affidavit for the tickets that, you know, if we got caught scalping them in the parking lot, you know, we were going to get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We went through that whole, you know, ordeal. We walked out of there with, you know, with a handful of tickets, you know, with 50 tickets in an envelope. And we were like, unbelievable. And then, you know, we proceeded to rent a bus at the time. This company there, we rented it. It was like $250 to rent the bus. And Mark had a sign for that, too, because he was only
right, 18. Yeah.
Who was 18. So far, the tickets were $750. The bus came down to like with 50 people on the bus as $5 a person. So we were at $12.50 in cost. So we figured, all right, we're going to charge everybody $20 to jump on the bus. And, you know, and everybody goes, then with the extra money, we're going to get beer and subs.
Yeah.
So and that's what we did. We got beer and food. And then, of course, Mark and I went for free because we organized the whole thing.
Yeah.
And but we had, you know, we did this bus ride to the Philadelphia Spectrum, which was amazing because, I mean, we as everyone was getting on the bus, we collected $1 from each person. And we gave that $50 tip to the bus driver. Now, a $50 tip in 1975 was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he said, you guys can do whatever you want. So we had, you know, we had the Cheech and Chong bus ride to Philly. And you know, everybody we had beer.
We had
three barrels full of beer, and then we had subs. And one of the guys who went on the one of the bus ride, his family owned a stub shop in our town over here, and they still do, as a matter of fact. And he went on the bus ride with us, so we got all the subs from them. And it was, you know, it was a great ride. You know, it was a great show. We had a group of seats. We had five rows with 10 seats in each row. And, you know, we went to the Spectrum. And at the time, they were just starting to get better. Because, like I said, the first show at the Garden we saw, the February 3rd show, was probably, in my opinion, the worst I ever saw Zeppelin.
Right.
I mean, Plant's voice was shot and Jimmy's finger was still, you know, he was still suffering from the broken finger that he broke in the train door. And so, you know, that was probably my least favorite performance that I saw them. And the seventh was a little better. The eighth was better. And then the 12th was, in my opinion, a phenomenal show. And,
right.
You know, that was the snowstorm show. If you've listened to the
blues. Right, that's the famous Flying Circus. That's one of the, you know, I don't want to say the first bootleg that came out soundboard, because we had the Dallas, of course, but that was kind of the onslaught of the Empress Valley soundboards that came out. And I've always loved that show myself, just as the audience. But I've heard recently about the snow show and so forth. So talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, that day it was a Wednesday, I believe, and I was in high school, and in the morning it starts snowing like crazy. So by like 10, 11 o'clock, there's like a foot of snow on the ground, and they're they're letting us out of school early. You know, it's going to be early dismissal. You know, they're letting us out at like noontime. Everybody's freaking out, going to me and Mark, going, yeah.
Is it going to be on? Is it going to be on?
Exactly, just like planned. Yeah, is the concert guy? I'm like, yeah. So far, we haven't heard anything. You know, blah. And back then, there's no cell phones and internet and all of that stuff. You know, so and our biggest concern was how the hell are we going to get to New York City from where we live? We were about an hour outside of New York.
Yeah,
and so we're like, all right. Do we take the train or do we take the bus? So we're sitting there. Well, we decide we're going to take the bus. So we go, we get on the bus. Like I said, we got out at like 12 noon. We were on the 1 o'clock bus into New York City. We didn't get to New York till about 4 o'clock. It was about a three hour bus ride into New York City. So, but you know, we get into New York City and, We always went to this place called the Bowery. It was the Bowery Bank that was right across from the Garden, and it had this little plaza because the building was like an L-shaped building, and it had like a little courtyard in it that was pretty good. You could get out of the wind, you know, and everybody hung out there and partied there, you know, drank there and stuff. So we go to the Bowery beforehand, and we're doing our thing, and of course, and everything, and it's snowing still, and everything. And so, one of our friends who he's at the show with us, and his girlfriend, whatever, his girlfriend basically, she passes out in the snow.
Oh wow!
And he's like, dudes, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And we're all like, well, you brought her, you know, yeah. So it's like, it's time to go in because, I mean, you know, we know that they go on fashionably late, you know, but it's like 8 o'clock and it's time for us to go in, you know? And so he literally scoops his girlfriend up. And now this is something that when I tell this story to people, they're like, you gotta be kidding me. It's because, I mean, it was a totally different time and era, but
right.
he picks his girlfriend up and has her like fireman style over his shoulder. Because he's a big guy, she's a small girl,
right.
And we go through, and he literally hands the usher two tickets, and we go
with her on our shoulder.
And we go into the Garden with his girlfriend passed out.
Now
in this day and age, that would never happen.
right.
And so, but you know, we go into the show, and like I said, to me that night, the band was finally starting to feel it again. You know what I'm saying? The band was cooking because, I mean, the solo in Over the Hills and Far Away.
Yes.
I mean, anybody that listened to that solo right there, to me, that's the best version of that song, the entire 75 tour. And it's like, it was a great night. Mark considers the Stairway version from Night his favorite, the Stairway of all time. And
very cool.
It was, you know, it was just a really great, great night.
And where were your seats?
I was sitting in section H, row one, which was literally the front row of the second section. I was like half court at Madison Square Garden, but there was, you know, back then they had a space between you. So there was like, you know, and there, I mean, we had a railing in front of us, you know, one of those fence things, type of things, which everyone was standing on their seat anyway because you were on the floor, you know.
Yeah. Like,
but it was, you know, we were literally about half court, you know, at the Garden, you know, right in the center, and it was awesome. And I mean, you know, seeing Bonzo in the Clockwork Orange outfit, you know, and to me, you know, because to me, every time I went to see Zeppelin, it was kind of like a drum lesson for me, you know, because I basically would
drum
watch
clinic.
Bonham. I would watch Bonham the whole night. It was pretty much him and Jimmy, you know, something like that. You know, it was like, and if Robert got in the way, that was okay. but you know, we went to that show, and as for me, I thought that was the last show I was going to see, because the following day, I was playing in a band while I was in high school, and we were playing at a Valentine's Day dance at my high school, and lo and behold, Mark shows up while we're setting up and says, "We got to go tomorrow night. It's the last night at the Coliseum, you know, Valentine's Day."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "We don't have any tickets." He's like, "Don't worry about it. We'll scalp tickets." I'm like, "All right, I'll go."
And, yeah.
it didn't take much to talk me into it. And you know, the two of us decided we were going to go to that show. And then the following day, you know, I got up. I'm telling my mom and dad, hey, I'm going to the Nassau Coliseum with Mark today. Going to see you. They're like, you guys don't have any tickets. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. We're going.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out. So, you know, and so my, at the time, I had just made some money from the night before playing at the dance. So, you know, yeah, I got money to go. And Mark swung by. And once again, it's the remnants of that snowstorm from the 12th, which was a few days ago. And we drive out to the Nassau Coliseum, which is a good ride from here. It's about a three and a half hour ride.
Wow, okay.
So we get out to the Nassau Coliseum. And once again, we get there around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we decide we're going to go inside and we're just going to go to the window, to the box office, and see if there's any tickets re-released or anything like that. So then we go in and we go up to the window, and there's a lady behind the window, and she's, you know, we ask her those questions, and she basically laughs at us and says, "Now this show's completely sold out." We're like, "Oh, okay, thank you." You know, so we walk away, and we're inside because it was freezing cold outside. We're inside in like the lobby where, you know, all the ticket windows are, and this guy comes up to us and says, "You guys need tickets?" And we're like, "Yeah," and he goes, "I got two tickets, and it's $50 for the pair." And now, once again, the tickets were $7.50 a piece.
That's so a big chunk of change back then, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so Mark looks at me and says, "I got $25. I'm like, "Oh, I got $25. He's like, "All right." He goes, we may not get a shot at any other tickets. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So we decide, okay, we're giving the guy $50. We have no idea where his tickets are, by the way. So he hands us the two tickets. So what Mark and I do is we go back over to the same window we had just went to, the woman behind the window, and we ask her, "Can you show us where these tickets are?" And I'll never forget, she says, "Who did you kill for those seats?"
Nice.
And we turn and I'm like, "Where are they?" And she points on the map. We were fifth row, dead center.
Woo!
And at the time, that was the closest we had ever sat for a Zeppelin show. And, you know, we were fifth row dead center. I was literally right in front of Bonzo's bass drum. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the three rings, you know. It was unbelievable.
And those stages are somewhat low, right, compared to nowadays?
Yeah, the stage was great. And, I mean, if you listen to the bootleg of that night, I mean, you hear the great plantations, you know, talking about, you know, the pagan holiday, you know, same day and stuff. It was a hell of a show. And like I said, the band were feeling better. And I thought the 14th was probably as good, if not better, than the 12th. But, you know, I really loved the 12th because of the whole ordeal we went through with the snow. But the 14th, the Valentine's Day show, was utterly amazing. I mean, it was something that, you know, anyone, like I said, as a kid at the time, we had never sat that close. And so for us at the time, we were like, you know, being there in the fifth row was like, I mean, I remember we went in early, which, you know, we never did, you know, at a concert. You know, we went in early just to sit in those seats because we wanted to be sitting up close. You know? I mean, because we had never sat up close like that before. We were like, can you believe we're like five rows from the stage?
Right.
You know, it was just amazing. And
so did it blow out your ears? Was it crazy loud?
Oh, it was amazingly loud, but I love that. You know, I'm
just right.
that was my thing. You know, I was like sitting there. Like I said, that night, I can honestly remember sitting there that night, and when they were playing Over the Hills, I was like sitting and once again saying to myself, I was like, my God, they're just like blowing the roof off this.
Right.
Place.
Yeah. Know?
It's like. The Coliseum, if you remember, the Coliseum was this long oval kind of, you know, and the sound in there was just, it was amazing. And from where we were, the coolest thing for us that night was when we got to turn around and see the whole place, people at the time holding up lighters or matches.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there were no cell phones and stuff, you know, but, you know, to see the garden all lit up like the nighttime sky, you know, it was amazing. It was that cool.
Yeah. You mentioned Over the Hills and Far Away. And for me, the 75 tours, that's when the shows always started cooking, right? Because they'd come out with Rock and Roll and Sick Again, then Plant would come out and say good evening, talk about the cross section of material. But by the time they hit that, the Over the Hill solo, because the you had the rhythm section going, you have Jimmy just cutting loose, that's when you know like how good this show's really going to be, because that's when they kind of gelled. It's kind of like Trampled Underfoot in a way too, just that's when they're all hitting on all cylinders.
Right, exactly. That's that was amazing. You know, I mean, that was for me. That was always like you said, that was the litmus test of the show. You know,
right?
How they were going to be. You know, how they were in 75 anyway. And my impression was always, like I said, when I saw Bonzo and him and John Paul in the pocket and Jimmy, and Jimmy just layering some crazy lead on top of it. I was like, wow, there you go. I mean, it's that good, and we're going to have a blast tonight.
Right, exactly. Well, let's recap these 75 shows. So New York, February 3rd, 1975. New York, February 7th. Philadelphia, February 8th. New York, February 12th. And NASA, February 14th. So it sounds like NASA was kind of the one you remember the most because being so close, but any other, these other shows stand out at you, or any songs or any special things that happened during the shows?
Well, I mean, like I said, the third was a bad night for them. Kind of Plant's voice, Jimmy not being so great. The seventh, they started coming back again. They brought back Dazed and Confused.
Yep.
Which came back into the set. The eighth will always be in my mind because of the bus ride while we did. As far as the show goes that night, I mean, the song remains the same. Rain Song medley is just, amazing. I mean, it was really special that night. It's really a good night for that. And the Garden, like I said, I mean, my personal highlight is Over the Hills. Mark thinks Stairway is the best version of Stairway ever, what I'm saying? But to me, and to me, every night for me was like how everyone would get up and go to the bathroom during the Moby Dick. Not me. I'm there watching the whole thing. That's what my friends even used to say to me. How do you sit through the whole show without having to? I mean, you don't go during the drum solo.
It's Bonham,
I'm like, dude, the drum solo's why I'm here. It's like, I mean, that's why I'm here, really. But everyone would be like, wow, you stay through the 18 to 20 or the 25 minute solo. I'm like,
I could imagine on that February 14th show being so close, you must have heard that bass drum in your soul and your heart, like every time when he's just slamming it during Over the Top. It's like it must have blown you away.
Mark, for the next 2 months after that, I was putting pillows in my bass drum. I'm trying to make my bass drum sound like that. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be damned. I couldn't make it sound like that. It was like.
But a lot of drummers have tried, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Believe me. Oh no, that was a really, like I said, that was one thing because after seeing him and the way his drum sounded, and to me, that was one of the things that really had the hook in me, from the very beginning, was that his drums sounded like drums. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they,
solid.
They didn't sound like someone was hitting a cardboard box or something, and it was, it had that projection to it, And so, I mean, all my life and even to this day, I mean, it's, I have, a really nice maple kit with the 26 inch bass drum and the 14 and 16 and 18 inch toms. And I strive all the time to get them to sound as close as I can to that. Because that's the thing. Because if you want to play that music, you got to have that sound. And back then, you're right. Sitting close like that after the first time, we never wanted to sit far away ever again. And that's why in 77, we did get spoiled in 77.
Spoiled. Well, let's dive into those shows. So the 77 shows you went to was Maryland, May 25th and May 26th.
Right.
Then all the New York shows, Madison Square Garden, June 7th, June 8th, June 10th, June 11th, June 13th, June 14th.
Yep.
So damn, that's a lot of Zeppelin, man. And that's, all those shows are so close together. That's what I've loved. I talked to other people who've gone to those six nights at Madison Square Garden. And it's like in 8 days or something like that. It's just incredible seeing Zeppelin that whole week. But talk a little bit about that, how that feeling was when, you heard they're coming back. You mentioned the ticket buying experience was a little bit different.
Oh yeah, it was all about mailing back then because
right.
after the riots and stuff that they had in some of the places, you know, that had those
Boston.
Those old Ticketron machines and stuff like that. Yeah, they said no, they were going to do it by mail-in. So at the time, you know, between the 75 and 77 tour, Mark and I in our boarding. Well, actually, it was when Song Remains the Same came out in 76. We went to Swan Song Records, which was in Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, and we went there and we met this young guy. His name was Sam, and we became friends with him. We basically brought him a bottle of Stoli, we brought him a bottle of vodka, and we became friends with him. And he actually gave us each a bootleg album, which I still have the bootleg that they had confiscated, you know, and stuff that they had up there in the Swan Song offices. So.
What was his last name? Sam. He was the PR guy over it for the
Sam Azier was his name.
Yeah, exactly. Because on some press releases, you'll actually see his initials in the top left or top right of the press release.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a PR guy for Swan Song.
Well, Sam was a great guy, and he was really great to us, you know. And then when we wanted to go see Zeppelin, we told him that, you know, hey, we'd love to go to see them before they got to New York.
Yeah.
So he was looking. He's like, well, you know, we just go to Maryland, and we're like, yeah, you know, Baltimore.
Of course.
Yeah, sure. There's an Amtrak train. We can do that, you know? And he goes, well, if you guys go, he goes, I'll get you tickets. He goes, there'll be tickets at the will call window waiting for you. So we're like, really? And we're like, yeah, sure. And so we went and we're like, how many? He goes, you and two, you know, two more of your friends, you know, four of you. So we went, me and Mark and two other our buddies, we said, yeah, we're going to the Capitol Center. And I remember my mom took us to the train station and dropped us off. And we took the train to Landover, Maryland. And when we went to the box office, sure enough, there were tickets, you know, in our names and on the will call. And the coolest thing about the ticket was the tickets back then said an evening with Led Zeppelin. And underneath Led Zeppelin, it said guest.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And the ticket, it was 0.00 comp, C-O-M-P.
Yep.
And we were like, wow, we have tickets for free.
We've Zeppelin. Made it.
You know what I mean? I'm like, we're somebody now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking wild.
And the tickets were in the 10th row. So we literally had two nights in a row that we were in the 10th row. And it was amazing, and believe it or not, there wasn't anybody else around us in the 10th row. It was like we were by ourselves.
Oh wow!
And it was awesome. It was great, and you know, I mean, the shows at Maryland really primed us for the shows that we were going to go see at the Garden. And now the Garden thing to go back into the mail-in stuff, well. Sam clued us in on how you were going to get tickets for Madison Square Garden, because he couldn't give us tickets. So he gave us all the mail in info for, you know, he gave us the P.O. box and, you know, the day it was going to be announced and what time it was going to be announced and everything.
Yeah, nice.
So we went to our family again. To get money to buy tickets, because hey, the tickets were expensive that year. They were $10.50 a piece.
You know? Right, you need six of them.
Yeah, and I need six. You know, I need $63 basically. You know, and so we, you know, and in 77 once again, it was tough times. So, but we went and but we needed the addresses more than anything, Mark, because you couldn't have more than one envelope coming to an address.
Yep.
So we had six different addresses. We had Mark's grandmother and, you know, other people, you know, my aunt and stuff and everything. So, you know, we had all these different envelopes going different places. Well, the day they were going to do this announcement, we drove to Manhattan. We drove to New York City, and the huge post office that's right across from Madison Square Garden was where, you know, we pulled the car up to there, And just as Scott Muni was going on 102.7 at the time, NEW was the big rock station.
Yep.
And Scotso's going on and telling him, well, this is how you're going to get tickets for the Garden for Zeppelin. As he's announcing that, I'm dropping all our envelopes off in, I think it was P.O. Box 57, I believe, was the box. If I find the old ad that I have out of the newspaper, because they had a thing in the newspaper.
Yeah, full page ad.
That came out. And we had put our envelopes in while he was just announcing it. And so as the envelopes came back to us, we ended up getting front row for two nights, for June 8th, for June 8th and June 14th, which was the last night at the Garden. You know, I mean, we were
right.
We were in heaven. And then all our other seats, we never sat further than like the 10th row.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. Yeah.
We sat in the sixth row. We sat in the 10th row. You know, it was like, it was great. And so we had all these tickets and, you know, we knew we were going. And as you said, the thing was, we were kind of preparing ourselves because we were going to six shows in 8 days. And back then, going to a Zeppelin show, it took a lot out of you.
It's a lot of, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of were preparing ourselves for that. And, right. But, you know, we went the opening night on the 7th was the only night we didn't sit on the floor when we sat in back in the old Garden. You remember how the seats were colored going up there. You know, they were red, orange, yellow, green and blue. As you know, as the levels of the seating went going up. So anyway, we were sitting in the lower level in the red seats in section 35. I mean, these would have been great seats if it was a hockey game, you know.
Right.
But we were literally on Jimmy's side of the stage, in front of the stage a little bit, looking right onto the stage. We were literally up as high as the stage, and it was perfect seats. And so Mark and I went that night, you know, we were there together, you know, because, I mean, we were the ones who were going every friggin' night. And and all we could think of that first night, Mark, and was looking, we were looking at the front row where we were going to be sitting
right.
That night, you know what I'm saying? And we were like, can you imagine we're going to be, that's where we're going to be sitting, you know? And then our other thing was we were scheming on how we were going to sneak in a camera and to take pictures.
Yeah.
Because back then, you know, security was a little different because they had a tremendous manager, Peter Grant, and he was not one for taping right. And photography or videotaping. That's why there's so few, you know, there's such limited stuff that.
And did you know about that? Have you heard stories in 77 about the manager and how you shouldn't be recording or any taking pictures?
Oh, yeah. And all the tickets said right on it. No recording. No cameras. No
cameras or recording devices, I think it said.
Exactly. That's exactly what it said. And so, you know, you were, you know, and back then when you're a high school kid, and like I said, at that time, you know, that was my senior year. And I mean, I graduated from high school on the 15th.
Oh, okay. So, great. Like, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, my lead up to graduation was going to see Zeppelin. How I got my money is I asked my parents, can I have my graduation money like in advance here? Because, and they're like, why? And I'm like, because I want to go see Zeppelin six times at the Garden.
Yeah, parents never understood that, or a lot of people don't understand why you need to see a band more than once.
Exactly, Mark. That was it. You know, it's like, well, why do you need to see them? Aren't they playing the same stuff? I'm like, all right. I'm like, no, it's different every night. And it was, but you know, Dave, he said it was just it was a total different era, of course.
Well, let me ask you, what was the time frame from the time you sent your money in for the tickets to the time you get the tickets back and know where you're sitting at?
We like I said, the day he announced it, that came out, we put our stuff in there. The newspaper thing came out that evening too, with Scott Muni putting on there. So I guess it was about 3 weeks afterwards, after we had gone to the city.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, the envelopes, you know, when we were getting the envelopes, every time we would open the envelopes, after we opened up the first one and that was the night we sat in the sixth row, back in the old days, the Garden, going across the front of the stage, the sections were O, R, A, and C. So we were sitting in A6. We were in the sixth row, like on Jimmy's side of the stage, and we were, you know, it was a great scene. We're like, oh yeah, and then like I said, but then we opened up the thing, and we're going, well, on the eighth, we're sitting in R1. And, you know, we're like, we're sitting in the front row. and back then, like I said, that was like, we had never experienced that before. And that was, right. And to us, that was, you know, we're going to be in the front row. And, you know, we wanted to, and like I said, and that's why we took the photos that, you know, we took and like, you know, that I have. I mean, we shot 10 rolls of 36 exposure film, you know, 35 millimeter film.
What date was that? On the 8th?
On the 8th, on June 8th. Okay. Yeah, that was the, we didn't bring the camera on the last night because we just wanted to enjoy it, have the right. fun of the night, because we didn't want to deal with security and stuff and everything. And so we just went and had a blast on the 14th. But I mean, the 8th was, like I said, an indelible night. I mean, we have photos from it, you know, of them, you know, Plant right in front of us playing a harmonica during you know, Nobody's Fault But Mine. You know, Jimmy with the double neck, of course, and you know, all the greats, and on the 8th, I have a photo, which, and like I said, that's that people, you know, you can't deny this, and it's that's the only night I ever saw Jimmy play, you know, a different guitar than the double neck on Stairway. Because that night the string broke when he was the beginning of the lead, and he took the double neck off and they put on the Les Paul, and he finished Stairway to Heaven on the Les Paul on that night.
Wow.
And if you listen to the recording, you hear the little stop of him playing, and that's when he switched guitars. And I have a photo of Plant with the tambourine up in the air, and that's the only song he's holding the tambourine is during Stairway.
Right.
And he's got the tambourine up in the air, and Jimmy's got the Les Paul, and all the lights are on. And that's from Stairway, and Jimmy on the Les Paul playing Stairway.
Wow. Okay. So they played it all the way up until the solo, you're saying, and then he broke a string and then switched out the double neck for the Gibson.
Yes.
Or for the Les Paul.
On the eighth. Yeah. And it's like I said, and if you listen to the recording from that night, and there's some good recordings out there now of the eighth, during the solo, he's, you know, the solo starting, and then all of a sudden bang, you hear,
wow,
you
know, okay.
And all you hear is Bonzo and John Paul going, and then he gets straps on the Les Paul, and then you hear the guitar kick back in, and you can, you know, it's a definitely, you know, that's exactly what happened that night.
So I want to go back to the Maryland shows, seeing them on the 25th and 26th in 1977, and then you just saw the 1975 shows. Right. I mean, what was the thought process? I mean, were they better? Were they worse? I mean, how did you feel 1977 was compared to the 75 shows you just saw?
77, I mean, we were, you know, at then there was no Days of Confused, you know, the show was still long.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you were getting, you know, half hour, you know.
The noise solo, yeah.
You know, the noise solo, and you were getting, you know, No Quarter was 20-something minutes.
Right.
The drum solo was 20-something minutes, you know. So all of those things. And, I mean, for us, 77 was great for us because we got the acoustic set. I mean,
true.
You know, I mean,
true.
But my favorite tour out of all of the tours that I saw, out of those three tours, was the 75 tour.
Yeah.
That was my favorite tour. I mean, even more so than 73.
Right. Well, I've always felt 75 is where they were just on top of the world. I mean, they just looked the best. They knew they were rock gods. They just took the world by storm. They're on top of the world, and they just knew it, and they just looked apart. And they were, you know, it just something about them at that era. They just look incredibly cool.
Absolutely. They were the biggest rock act on the planet. And that was the fact. and everybody, like I said, at the time when Physical Graffiti was coming out there, I mean, as a kid, you know, I was, you know, in my room at night with a transistor radio and like one, you know, back then there wasn't headphones. Earpiece, you know.
Yeah, so, I remember.
And I'm listening to Allison Steele, the Nightbird. She was, you know, she was the late night, you know, DJ on 102.7, you know, on NEW here in New York City. And she was, that was the first time I heard Sick Again and Kashmir.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? In My Time of Dying. And it was, and I was like, you know, those are songs, they played them on the radio.
Trampled Underfoot, too, yeah.
Trampled Underfoot. And I was like, oh, my God. Because, heavy. I mean, you know, we had already saw the shows in concert. And then we heard it on the, you know, we heard the album. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was, I think Zeppelin was like one of the few bands that they toured.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they had it backwards, you know what I'm saying? They didn't put out the album and then tour. They were touring and then the album came out, you know.
Right. I forgot about that. So you were seeing Kashmir before actually hearing Kashmir. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Before I even heard it on the album, because the album came out in March. All the shows I saw were in February. And, and for us, it was like, you know, see here and, you know, Sick Again and, you know, Trampled Underfoot, you know, In My Time of Dying. I was like, I mean, we were like, wow, you know, and Kashmir, of course, we knew that was going to become the new centerpiece of the show. That was just, you know, that was mind blowing. And in 75, Jimmy was still playing it on the Les Paul, wasn't he playing it on the Dan Electro?
Yeah. And I also think with 75 and 77, because with 77, we had, you know, it's after Plant's accident. So he didn't move around as much like he did in 75.
Yep.
Jimmy going through whatever he was going through.
Yeah.
He didn't move around as much. And some nights he just kind of seems like he stood there. Obviously, depending where you're standing. And then if you're the closer you are, you always have a better view of the show and better takeaway, in my opinion.
Right.
But yeah, I think that those were the differences, even though I've never seen him. That's what I feel with 75 and 77.
I always thought 77 were the shows were basically carried by the rhythm section, because because John Paul and Bonzo were usually always on.
Oh yeah,
they were just, you know, they were always, like I said, they were always in the pocket, you know. And it was like, it was amazing. And that's the thing, you know, he's the unsung person, John Paul, because
100%,
his playing, you know, was amazing. I mean, and like I said, that's why a lot of the in 75, you know, the band was really cooking. And I agree that they were, you know, kind of, you know, they were the biggest band on the planet. They were just, you know, a monster rolling through every town that they went to. But in 77, like I said, with the things that were going on, like I said, with Plant after the accident and Jimmy dealing with his demons, to me, like I said, every show that I saw, you know, all you had to do was listen to the drums and bass, or, you know, when he was on keyboards and everything, that rhythm section, how tight they were. Because the thing about Zeppelin, you have to realize, a lot of people don't know this, the rhythm section was the backbone of that band, because it was the guitar and the vocals were all layered on top of, you know, what was going on in the background. And like I said, there were some great rhythms, and, you know, there's some things that you heard that on there that have been used over and over and over now, that have been sampled, you know, by all these hip hop guys and everything and stuff like that. Just, you know, some of Bonzo's beats and everything are just, you know, just incredible. But I mean, that's to me, I mean, the 77 tour was more, more commercial to me, you know what I'm saying? With the lighting and stuff and everything. And the whole, you know, the stage, you know, at the time, you know, was, you know, the drum riser moved to the front of the stage.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they, you know, they were getting more and more into
a little bit more show, little bit more flashy,
right? More show, more flash, you know, more things. And like I said, the fact that the acoustic set took up a good portion, and then the three, you know, the three guys who were actually playing an instrument, you know, Bonham, Jones, and Page, all of their solos all took up, you know, a good portion.
Oh yeah.
So really, if you think about it, the shows in 75 and 73 were longer, you know, than 77, because you know, those shows, there was a lot more of the soloing going on. But the improv is, like I said, once again, for us, that's why we went. You know, we went to see that. You know, that was, you know, something to see and something to behold, because, you know, it was Zeppelin, you know, at their best, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I can imagine seeing Achilles' Last Stand must have been pretty wild too.
Well, Achilles was something that I had waited for, because, you know, the album, you know, after hearing the album, that was immediately my favorite track on the album. And so to see it live, and, you know, some incredible versions of it.
Especially the section, right? Because that's, you know, so photogenic, but it's like, that's what you know when you see so many pictures of Page and Plant from 77.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The pictures, like I said, once when you see the pictures that I sent you, it's going to, like, we have great shots of, you know, them leaning into one another, you know.
The crowd must have went nuts on that.
Oh, it was crazy. And the thing is, they had all the lights were up, you know, the stage was lit up really bright at the time. You know, they had a lot of white lights going at the time. And so you could see the crowd in front of the stage and everything, and you could tell that they were, you know, they knew what they were doing, you know what I'm saying? They were on top of the world and they knew it.
So where were you when you heard Bonham passed away?
That was probably, well, I was in college at the time. I went to Fairleigh Dickinson University, and I was playing football up there, and so it was a day of practice for me. And I was jogging down to the practice field, and this guy, he was my offensive tackle, this guy Ian, he said to me, wow, you must be really sad. I'm like, about what? It's only practice, you know? He's like, you heard about that guy from Zeppelin, right?
Wow.
I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, some guy from Zeppelin died. I'm like, no way. I said, I would have heard that. And he goes, you know, I'm telling you.
Right.
He goes, and right away, I'm thinking, you know, Jimmy, you know, who I'm thinking, you know. So I go through practice, and after practice, hurriedly just get out of my stuff. And really, I didn't even take a shower. I ran back to my, you know, to my dorm where I was at, went in and flicked on my radio, which was always set to the, you know, to the station, to 102.7. Comes on, and I'm hearing, of course, I'm hearing the radio, the DJ, yeah, the loss of John Bonham today. And oh man, I just fell back in the bed.
Right.
I was like, I literally cried. it was like losing a family member. And you know, Mark and I, we were all set to go. We were going October 17th to Montreal, Canada. It was the opening.
Oh,
it was
wow.
The opening night of the North American tour. We had Amtrak tickets, tickets to the show, to the Montreal Forum, a room in the Hotel Versailles.
Up everything there, set.
All set and everything like that. And, you know, the 25th September, it all came to a crashing end. And we were like, whoa. And then, like I said, that night I got back, and right away, you know, on the phone, because there's only regular phones, but on the phone to all my buddies and stuff, you know. And then my phone was ringing off the hook, because it was, you know, it was like I had lost a family member, you know, people calling me up, offering me condolences and stuff, you know, because it was, you know, because they know that, you know, they knew that, you know, that was my idol, so to speak, you know. And It was such a devastating loss. And, you know, the fact that, you know, and even back then, I kind of knew, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, they'll get somebody to, you know, like, nah.
Nope.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. You know? And then sure enough, you know, in December, when the announcement came out, you know, that, you know, can no longer continue as we were. And I was like, see, I told y'all. And it was such the right thing to do. Because, you know, I mean, it was the respect that they had for their, you know, for their bandmate. And And the awesomeness that he you know, was in that band. I mean, if anyone, you know, just all you have to do is listen to some isolated drum tracks. And I mean, I recommend that to a lot of people. You know, you want to hear what he really was all about. It wasn't all that bash and boom. You know, it wasn't, you know, hitting hard. Yeah, he hit the drums hard, but he played with swing and with feel, because he had all that Motown influence in him, you know.
Well, you mentioned it earlier, the rhythm section. So they could never have gotten another drummer in there.
No.
I mean, there's no way.
No, this
was an ultimate unit, the four of them, no replacements.
Yeah, without a doubt, Mark. I mean, like I said, out of all the shows, I mean, you've heard of them enough. And like I said, anyone who's listened and really listened, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not just to be, you know, having a beer and, you know, to have a deal. But I mean, anyone who's really listened, you know, like me, I spent a lot of hours as a teenager, you know, and then in my 20s with headphones on at nighttime, because that's how you went to sleep. You know what I'm saying? You put on some music. And when you hear the production of it, you know, the sound going from one speaker to the other, back and forth.
Yeah, that's what, you know. Yeah,
and you know, I mean, that the band was just special. They were unique. they, like I said, they were the biggest band that walked the planet. And and for me,
And still are.
And for me, I was lucky enough that, you know, I got to see them.
Did you see any of the reunion shows from Live Aid to Atlantic 40th or O2?
Oh yeah. I was at Atlantic 40th. Definitely. I was there. I had a backstage pass for that. That was cool.
And what was your takeaway from that show being there? Because obviously seeing it on TV, the effects were not as shattering, as they say.
The sound on TV was friggin' horrible. And right. I mean, it's on cassette, but somewhere around in my mishmash of stuff, I recorded that night. I recorded Plant's little segment, and I recorded Zeppelin, of course, at the end of the night. And my recording sounds way different than what you hear on HBO, that's for sure.
Right.
Because you can hear the keyboards and stuff. And don't get me wrong, Jimmy was wasted. They waited way too long to roll them out on stage. I remember it was like 12:05 at night, you know, and we had been there from like 11 a.m. And, you know, like I said, the cool thing was that, you know, we had a laminate that you could go, you know, go backstage. We had some food and stuff. And when we went back there, we saw what Zeppelin's set was going to be. It was, you know, it was written on the freaking wall. And that was a great concert. I mean, if you look in the video of it on HBO, you can see there's someone holding up a license plate that says that says the Zep, and in the stands, that's my friend Mark.
And it was still early, right? Because it's pre Page and Plant years. Everyone's still kind of finding themselves in the 80s as far as what their career is. So it's kind of interesting.
I mean, well, you saw later on that year, the Outrider tour, Jimmy had Jason playing drums for him.
Right.
You know, playing that year. And then Plant did the Now and Zen tour, which was probably his best tour, I think, you know.
Right,
you know, it was, it, you know, they were playing and, you know, it wasn't Zeppelin at their best. And yeah, Live Aid, I was at Live Aid. I sat through 100 degree temperatures there. You know, I listened to Jack Nicholson to tell everybody to cover up anything that might melt because they're going to hose you down. You know, they're wetting people down with the water. And it was, you know, we literally went to that to see that show just to see Zeppelin. And I mean, I sat through Madonna, you know what I'm saying? We went to JFK and it was awesome. We had, you know, we were there just for that show. And I
liked the Live Aid show. I mean, they were unrehearsed, but I the passion that was there, you know, you could tell they were just somewhat happy to be together on the stage, whether, you know, Plant's voice all of a sudden started cracking and he was hoarse all the stuff with the flanger on Page's guitar. But there is something magical about that show, I think.
It's the drums, my friend. It's the drums. Phil Collins and Tony Thompson, neither one of them had a clue what they were doing.
That's a sad part.
I should have been playing drums. It would have sounded a lot better, believe me. Yeah. It was, I mean, if you listen to that, that's the whole takeaway of that. And even if you listen to an interview that Page did after the fact, he'll even tell you that they had like a 15 minute rehearsal and neither one of those guys knew what they were doing. Phil Collins was spent. He had played in England. He had took a Concorde over. He had just played with friggin' Eric Clapton. So, I mean, he was shot, you know. He didn't really know the songs either,
so that's a sad part.
He had no idea what he was playing, neither did Tony Thompson from Chic, you know. I mean, so I just think that was just bad misfortune right there. So, yeah, I've gone to everything you could imagine. I mean.
And did you go to the O2 show?
Atlantic. No, unfortunately, we couldn't get tickets for the O2 show because I don't know how many million people were trying to get 18,000 seats, but. I wasn't able to go, and you know, I was ready to pay some serious money to go, but wasn't able to get a ticket.
Well, Wayne, before I let you go, I do have some questions I want to ask you. Just requires a one or two word answer, and then we'll go through that. Okay?
Sure.
So, favorite Led Zeppelin album?
Surgical Graffiti.
Least favorite Led Zeppelin album?
I don't know, maybe Coda.
Favorite Led Zeppelin song?
Cashmere.
Least favorite song?
Ooh, probably Hot Dog.
Jimmy Page or Robert Plant fan?
Jimmy.
Favorite solo projects?
I love the Coverdale Page, now in Zen, the walking into Clarksdale.
Do you think they should have continued after the O2 show?
Absolutely.
Wayne, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today. Before I let you go, is there anything additional you want to say to our fans? I know you're in a band now. Do you want to promote your band here? Tell us what the names are, where you're playing at, how we could find you on YouTube?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I play in a really cool band called Side Effects with a really good guitar player, my buddy John Quigley, who's a lead head like myself. And we've gone to a lot of the Page Plant shows together and stuff like that. We play, a lot of class, a big cross section of classic rock, as Robert Plant would say, everything from Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Deep Purple and The Who and you name
cool.
it. And you can find us on YouTube. If you go on, you put in Side Effects 2.0, because this is like our second go around with this band. And we're Side Effects 2.0. And there's some videos on YouTube there, and you can check us out. You can see us doing Kashmir, 10 Years Gone, All My Love, stuff like that. And we play here in New Jersey. And so if you're ever on the Jersey Shore, look us up.
Perfect. Well, come on down, everyone, go see Wayne.
Thanks, guys.
And Side Effect 2.0. Thanks again, Wayne, for joining me. You have a wonderful day.
Yeah, Mark, you too. You as well. And I'll be speaking with you soon, buddy.
Very good. Oh, thank you, Wayne, so much for coming on. I've been asking you for I don't know how long to be a guest here, so I'm so happy we've been able to sit down and kind of get you on the episode and you could share your Led Zeppelin journey. I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as I have. So that is it, my friends. Episode 25 is now complete. You need to reach me, contact at zepfan.com. I'm going to listen to In the Light from Physical Graffiti. You listen to your favorite Led Zeppelin track. Enjoy it. And until we meet again, have an awesome day.